So Bertie is just recording now.
Yes.
So yeah. So it wasn't recorded. Recording. You had to convince it that it listens to a dragon.
It wasn't. Yeah, I think that had to be the problem. The new element.
Yeah, the problem.
Of course.
Birds just don't like it.
Dragon.
Birds just don't like dragons.
Birdius is really.
We love you. We love birds, especially with 7 secret herbs and spices.
Birdius is a bit stubborn sometimes, but
very, very archaic way of thinking. Yes. All right. Well, everything's up and running, and we're recording, so we're good to go whenever.
Yeah. So.
So absolute silence.
Absolute silence. That's like our.
Anyways, this is episode 4 of Bird Life. I'm Cor.
I'm Fleeks.
I'm not a bird.
He's not. And he's not Storm either.
No, I'm not Storm. I'm actually that guy with Storm, also known to this podcast as the Draconic Intern. But on my driver's license, it does say dressed in silver. So.
Why does a dragon need a driver's license?
Yeah.
Because sometimes we want to carry things and just take up more of the road for those land-based peoples.
You see, the only thing that comes to my mind is r/ dragons fucking cars.
No. And besides, my car doesn't even have a tailpipe, so...
Okay, this show starts definitely pretty good.
We've earned our explicit rating on iTunes.
Totally not my fault. I'm innocent. You can see Halo being supported by my horns.
We are all innocent.
But anyway, Drezel, tell us about yourself. Tell us about your bird side.
Oh, well... My bird side is a blue griffin, so I know you're both thrilled to hear about there's another griffin in midst, but I'm actually acting right now as a union steward because I've received a message from Storm, and he says that he is on strike demanding equal compensation between griffins and birds. Right now, he's only getting 50 cents on the feather. If negotiations go well, he should return next week.
Oh, neat.
Denied.
Denied.
Go ahead and pass that on.
Denied.
We don't have it in the budget. If you're only 50% bird, you only get 50% pay.
Mm.
Oh, well, I'm sure he'll be thrilled to hear that.
So what did you guys bring to drink this week?
Yeah, I have, this time I have a different beer. I have, a beer from Weltenburger Kloster, that's a local beer company, and they say they are the oldest brewery in the world, but I don't know. The beer is called Anno 1015. From Weltenburger Kloster, and yeah, that's a pretty decent beer. It seems like it won the Beer Tasting Gold Award from the European Beer Star 2011.
Yeah. Oh, not bad.
Yeah, it's a pretty good beer, one of my favorites.
How about you, Drezel? I'm told you're playing the sober game this week.
Well, yes. Unfortunately, since this is day 31 of going to work without a break or a day off and working 12-hour shifts, my drink of choice for this episode is coffee, a special blend of coffee forged in the fires of Evermore. The master dwarven smiths have brewed this to where it can wake the dead themselves.
Tell me about this coffee. I'm a big aficionado of coffee.
Well, my favorite blend that I've just discovered that we have in this little nest of ours is called Death Wish.
Ah, yes.
Specifically, we have Valhalla Java.
Even I heard about that coffee.
Valhalla Java is wonderful because it was made specifically for the lead guitarist of Black Sabbath.
Nice.
Like, this coffee is truly metal. So, it tastes like a mule.
So you'll probably drink it black.
Coffee should be drinking black.
Yeah. Oh, I like you more and more, Drezel. Even though you're a dragon, I'll forgive you.
If I drink coffee, it's pretty rare that I drink coffee because I'm more of a tea drinker. But if I drink coffee, black and without sugar, I can't stand sugar in coffee.
No, absolutely not. I have to drink mine black as well. I've had Death Wish coffee before. I've had a couple bags of that, and the flavor is surprisingly mild and delicious. I love it so much. And it does. It kicks you in the goddamn nads to wake you up.
Well, it's also interesting because my life revolves around the constant struggle of wakefulness. So I've become very involved in all things stimulants. A couple episodes ago, you were talking about narcolepsy. Roommate of yours that
yes,
basically fell through a wall. I have narcolepsy.
Right on. And do you know what I was talking about when I was saying that, like, his muscles would give out on him? What that condition is called? It usually goes hand in hand with narcolepsy.
Yes, that condition is called cataplexy.
Cataplexy. Yes.
And I can attest to it. That sucks. But I can do one better. I've fallen asleep on a forklift before.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
Like, driving and forklift. And I woke up and there was just bread everywhere. I'm like, oh, I think I have to pick this up.
Oh, God. So, Cor, you haven't told us what kind of beer you're drinking.
Oh, yes. Okay, so this week I have Schafferhofer. It's a grapefruit Hefeweizen, and it's delicious.
Oh, yeah, Hefeweizen. The correct term for Hefeweizen, at least in Bavaria, is Weissbier. Like white beer.
I nailed it. Yeah, have you ever heard of Schafferhofer, either of you?
Schafferhofer. It's called Schafferhofer.
Schafferhofer. And you have had it before? Schafferhofer.
Yeah, I had it. Schafferhofer.
I have not heard of it. Usually when I drink my beers, I'll stick to either Trois-Pistoles or La Fin du Monde. Those are my two favorite beers.
Sorry, I was just going to say the Schafferhofer, as Fleeks pronounces it, is definitely a Schafferhofer is definitely a bitch beer.
What's a bitch beer? Please,
The fact that it's really fruity and sweet makes it a bitch beer to me. Like,
oh, okay.
So, kind of also in my classification of bitch beer is like Mike's Hard Lemonades and Smirnoff Ices, yes.
Okay, thank you for declaring that, clarifying that. Actually, Schafferhofer Weizen has a very iconic, commercial here in Germany, where a French girl writes like a letter to her boyfriend, and she tells her boyfriend in the letter. Yeah, he writes in a letter what he should send her in a package, and that's like some the thing that have an ideal birth, and yes, like a horse figure and whatever. And in the end, he says in a French accent, "And I want one bottle of the beer that prickled that nicely belly in my belly button."
What?
What?
And that guy drinks the beer and sends her only literally the bottle. I can hardly explain it, but that's like
you'll have to YouTube it to us. Like, find it on YouTube and send it.
Yeah, I send it.
Most of the beers that I like to drink are what Storm would probably describe as pisswasser, because my go-to.
So the typical American kind of just weak beer kind of stuff?
Well, if I can't get my unibrow, like the microbrewery that I like, then my usual fallback is just Rolling Rock, which it is like just total shit water. It may just be a Dragon thing, because he can't handle the taste. You know, real manly men, birds, and yeah, pseudo from birds.
From what I picked up, yeah, Storm does seem to like the darker, deeper kind of beer stuff when he's not drinking wine.
Yeah, my favorite.
We still have the captured audio of you gagging, drinking whatever it was he was offering you.
Yes, yes. I love the fact that I was the first gag reel.
Literally. You were the first blooper ever.
And my favorite.
You should just make that into a ringtone.
Probably be a good one.
So, then tell me, what have you been doing with your weeks?
Honestly, I've done just a shit ton of overtime at work, and it's been nice, but at the same time, they were also bringing on a whole bunch of like new people at work, so I have to sit and train them, which is not all that fun. A lot of the people who come to my job site, they're fresh out of like getting their EMT certification, so they get their first call to go on, and they are absolutely panicking, and in a way, it's hilarious. In another way, it's really annoying, because you don't want like a newbie showing up on scene, you know, when someone's having something go wrong and having them have a panic attack.
So then do you kind of channel Dr. Cox from Scrubs and just say, "Marshall,
oh, absolutely. Absolutely."
See, unlike you, where you actually have trained talent, my job, we too are bringing in a lot of people, but typically ours are fresh out of prison.
Oh, nice.
And our guys typically last anywhere between 6 hours and a few weeks, depending on how much they can stand the wondrous working conditions we have of negative 30 degrees. Or for Fleeks' sake, I want to say, 20 below Celsius? Something
like that. So it sounds like you work out of a distribution warehouse.
Yes, I do.
Awesome. And, I used to actually work at one of those.
I also work at a distribution warehouse where I am in a minority of certain aspects.
You're white.
Yeah. And believe me, I found the other way to fit in with ethnic coworkers when you're white and a minority. Typically, everyone thinks that you can either, you know, learn the culture and just kind of adapt and just kind of flow into it. I'm not that kind of person. I just turn my white up to 11.
Like, steer into the curve, basically.
Yes, and like just beaver dam the whole thing. And then once you get the reputation of the crazy white guy, then people stop trying to do the whole yo-yo gangsta thug thing. Like, just last night, we got our paper checks, our paycheck stubs.
Right.
And I was trying to get all my gear on to go into this north of the wall type cold.
It's like negative 30 degrees in some of those refrigerator units. And those, and if I remember right, this is like the unit that you would probably be working in is probably about an acre large, right?
Yeah, we have enough space to fit 48,000 pallets.
Mm-hmm. So in the frozen unit on its own, or
huh?
In the negative 30 area on its own, or
No, the negative 30 area is just for ice cream. The warm part of the freezers is only negative 10.
Okay.
But yeah, like I put my check stub in my hat because I was getting my gloves on and things, and then just someone walks up and says, "Why do you have your check in your face like that?" And just deadpan, I say, "Because I have my mind on my money and my money on my mind." And they like, "Okay, I'm walking away now." They think that I'm an asshole for...
No, I used to do security at one of those locations. So I'm familiar with, like, you know, the lumbers and all that goes on. And I would have to do, like, checks through the negative 30 degree nitrogen frozen areas. And, like, sometimes I would forget to bring my like hoodie or jacket with me. By the time I got out of there, my like the snot in my face would literally be frozen in my nose. And I'd only be in there for like, you know, 4 or 5 minutes.
Oh man.
Yeah, I've lost feeling in my fingers, my toes, my tail, my wings have frozen solid. I found my outlook on life to provide warm commentary and just make people's brains melt. Just kind of passes the day through. And I do that in all parts of my life. Like, I'm not sure if you've ever actually gone to a restaurant and just wanted to actively fuck with someone, but that's kind of what dragons do. So when... when I went to Steak and Shake last before I got kicked out for doing so, then they asked me, "Hi, would you like a booth or a table?" I said, "Yes." And after 4 steps, the server actually stopped "Yes, I would like a booth or a table." Smile.
Sentence structure, all that. Mm-hmm. Fleeks, I want to ask you, what kind of jobs have you had in the past?
Oh, God. I'm 28, and I had a shit ton of jobs in my life. And yeah,
as have we all.
I start with my first traineeship. I started after I graduated my first school. I started at a construction site as a bricklayer in training. And after 3 months, I thought, like, no, that's not my thing. I mean, I was surrounded by sexist asshole. I don't know.
Blue collar work is definitely lots of fun.
they only talked about cocks and porns and I don't know, and they were like, I think 40-year-old guys that looked like 80-year-old guys because the work destroyed them, like, you know what I mean.
Sounds about right.
And after that, I was in a lot of like courses and some special organizations that train young adults or teenager who have no job or traineeship. And then I actually worked at BMW in the storage area.
Okay.
In the warehouse. And that was a pretty nice job, I think. It was pretty well paid and stuff, but it was only for a limited time. Then I worked at our postal service put like a package, incoming packages, packets. Come on. Packages. On a convenient, forgive me, I don't know the word, convenient belts. And belts? Then I work.
I've got a package with a convenient belt for you.
Oh,
sorry, I couldn't resist.
Oh, God. Anyways, after that, I worked. I was one of the guys for about a month who serves food in trains. That was like a 12-hour shift a day, yeah, it was pretty well paid because I could keep all the tips, and oh, the people paid a lot of tips. But it was like, I did not want to work 7 days a week for 12 hours a day. So I canceled that too. And then I actually started my my school for a childcare worker. So I became a childcare worker. Then I visited like a school of further education. So I got my Abitur, it's called in German. That gave me access to the university where I'm studying biology and chemistry now, and I become a teacher.
So, Fleece, if I can get this straight, you said that you handled packages and then you got to keep the tips. So, does that make you a moil?
No. That was the other job. You misunderstood me. I got tips when I worked at trains and served food and drinks.
Yeah.
And the more I sold, the more money I got. It was provision based.
So he was basically a flight attendant, except on trains. What is that called? Stewardess? Hmm? Steward?
The trolley woman from Harry Potter.
Trolley woman. Okay. Fleeks was a trolley woman.
I was a trolley woman, obviously. No. Yeah, it was pretty similar. Yeah, sweets and snacks and drinks. And it was always fun to check the people for their IDs if I thought they were under 18. And yeah, they were mostly under 18.
I was going to ask, so what was your guys' introduction into the fandom? How did you join this mess of a avian furry fandom? Or just the furry fandom in general?
Are you talking about the furry fandom in general? Was
yes.
I just saw a furry art on an image board, and then I was looking for more, and then I found an American. Actually, I'm from Germany, but like you know, but I found the American fandom first, and it was in a chat there on a website, and in this American chat on the website, I found the admin of a German furry board called Furbase, and he lead me to that to the forum that on the board I was very well accepted. I was like instantly welcomed with open arms.
Well,
and I liked it so much. And I loved it so much. Thank you. I loved it so much that only one month after that I met the first furry in my life, in real life. And shortly after that, I was at my first furry camp at a metal festival, and then I met so many amazing people that I like abandoned my normie friends almost, because I just saw they are like nicer and more like what I consider as friend and stuff. And yeah, and then I was fully inside that furry fandom, and the birds. The bird fandom, if I can call it like that, because we are like our own community, I think. I joined that. I got to my sauna through the Native American Zodiac, because my Native American Zodiac is woodpecker. And for fun, I requested for Arthur, because I thought it would be fun to draw myself in a woodpecker form. And yeah, I got a lot of nice pictures, and then I was like part-time woodpecker, you know? and then...
Now, there is a detail you're leaving out here that I find kind of funny, but you used to be a hyena.
No, I used to be an African wild dog. And I
so basically a hyena.
No, hyenas are felin likes, and African wild dogs are dogs.
Okay, well, I found some very incriminating pictures of you last night, and your character did look very hyena-like, so I'm sorry for mixing that up. But
probably because my ex-GF draw it, and she loves hyenas.
She hyena-ized you, basically.
To be honest, they look pretty similar. They have a face shape that's pretty similar to hyenas, so that's probably just natural. I finally changed to bird, and it was the best decision when Cianiati draw me a gift after I felt real, really bad, and then she gave me a gift art of my woodpecker, and then I instantly changed to permanent bird.
Aww. How about you, Drezel? How did you become a bird?
Very embarrassing. Well, a bird?
No. How did you become a furry?
Very embarrassingly, I became a furry. It was literally one embarrassment after the next. It started with a movie called Kung Pao Enter the Fist. So you've seen the movie.
Yes.
And you remember the scene with the anthropomorphic cow where they fight?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You just that kind of
started
feelings?
Little inklings. And then it's kind of like
how old were you?
Aspects that fell into place all around the same time in my life. It was part of that. Part of just, you know, enjoying just various characters from, like, you know, like media sense, like, you know, Bowser always looked cool, or Yoshi, or, you know, or the characters from the Animorphs and things like that. And then the straw that broke the camel's back, where I found my first furry website, was when I got caught looking at things that I was not supposed to online. And my mother made me promise that I would never look at that thing again. Technically speaking, I never did look at that thing again. Because that thing that I looked at from then on had fur and scales and feathers and tails. And yeah, I kind of entered the fandom through the back door.
Very much understandably.
And how about yourself, Cor?
Yeah. When I first found out about the furry community, I was probably like 13 years old and absolutely just probably the worst person on the internet, unfortunately, as most 13-year-olds are. I found it through some chat rooms. I found AnthroChats servers and hashtag furry was the channel I joined up. And for a couple of years, I would actually like bounce between aliases and just troll the channel. But after a little while, I was like, you know, these guys are actually kind of cool. Like, and I started like seeing some of the artwork, and by artwork, I mean adult artwork. And I mean things that will affect a 13-year-old in ways that shouldn't affect a 13-year-old, you know? So yeah, after that, I kind of got a little more trash involved and became very active on 4chan, and Furry Friday was a thing, which just kind of probably sealed my fate into the fandom. And after that, I pretty much figured I needed to stop being trash and actually start contributing to a really cool society of people that really just want to have fun. So I definitely shifted from trolling to enjoying the fandom quite a bit. And around the time I turned 17 or 18 is when I first attended like local meets. And that was around the time Fantastic Mr. Fox came out.
Oh, God, that movie.
Actually, my first fur meet was when that movie came out. And that was just straight up cringeworthy.
That movie brought back some good memories. But that's actually an interesting point, because now there's, of course, Zootopia came out. And I don't know, have either of you seen the trailer for, I believe it's called Sing?
Yes.
Yep.
So that's familiar to me, yeah.
So I think we are about in half an hour now, and I think it's a good time to, to ask you that, Cor, because
You're crunching again. Something.
I don't freaking know. next week, I will hopefully have a USB microphone, and then everything's.
Bird Life Chat, help Fleece get a clearer microphone.
Yeah,
we'll
start
a GoFundMe.
I guess GoFundMe, right. So, last time, Cor, you played with us the fun game Bird, Buck, and Bluff, but you did not have the challenge.
Yes, and I have more for you this week.
I have one for you first. I would ask you that, and then you're put to the test now after you put us to the test so nicely last week. And
bring it. Yeah, bring it on. I know all birds.
I really worked hard for that selection, and I'm pretty proud of it. And yeah, that will be really, really interesting. So, okay, I read the three birds.
Bring it on.
Will tell me what's a bird, what's a buck, and what's a bluff.
Okay.
So, first one is the Harlequin Ladybird. Second one is the Spotted Babu. And the third one is the Phoenix Petrel. What do you think
is a bug?
Okay.
Second one is a bird. Third one is a bluff.
Is it your final answer?
Yes.
Okay, you were right with the first one. My bluff did not work, but the Harlequin Ladybird is a ladybug.
Yes.
But a ladybird is a synonym for it. The second one was my fake, the Spotted Babu. I don't know how I came up with that, but yeah. And the third one, the Phoenix Petrel, is actually a real bird.
Petrel is in P-E-T-R-O-L?
P-E-T-R-E-L.
Oh, okay. I don't know of the petrel species, so.
I know that.
I've never heard of that before.
Yeah, I thought that the phoenix would probably make you think that it is.
You got me. You got me. Good job.
I can attest to the petrel species. Whenever I eat them, they give me gas. Like, there's no business.
Oh, boy. Okay, are you guys ready for me to put you guys to the test?
Yeah.
First one is for you, Drezzle.
Okie dokie.
Okay, tell me which one is a bug, a bird, or a bluff. The Orange Carmella, the Raspberry Crown, or the Black Phoebe?
Interesting.
Orange Carmella, Raspberry Crown, Black Phoebe. Bug, bird, or bluff?
I'm going to have to guess that Black Phoebe is the bird. The bluff is the Orange Carmella, because that sounds like a candy. And that leaves the Raspberry Crown as a bug.
Ah, you are absolutely correct.
Oh, wow. Neat. I wouldn't have known that.
Okay. I felt like I had to step it up for you, Fleeks, because you are a biologist, or soon-to-be biologist. So this next one, I've taken it just a step up for you. Just a step up, just to see how far I can push the limit for you.
Okay. You ready? Bring it on, baby.
Okay. Phainopepla. Gall midge. Burkini. Bug, bird, or bluff?
What was the last one?
Burkini.
And the first one?
Phainopepla.
I think the second one is the bird.
The gall midge?
The what?
Phainopepla, gall midge, or burkini?
I had I think what was the first one again? Oh god.
Phainopepla.
I think I have no idea, I have to admit that. But I think the third one is the bird.
The burkini?
Yeah.
That one's a bluff.
Oh, damn it. Then the second one is the bird and the first one is the buck.
No, you got all wrong. I'm sorry.
Yay! At least that's a sarcast in itself. I should have stayed with the first. Damn it.
The Phainopepla is a bird, the Gaul midge is a bug, and the burkini is actually what Middle Eastern women wear to the beach. There was actually a recent outcry in France for women wearing burkinis.
In Germany it's called burkini, so...
No.
Yeah. I understand bird kini.
Yeah, I'm thinking like a robin in a swimsuit myself.
Now I have more. Do you want to do another round?
I have a bonus one if you want.
Oh dear.
Because it was so good, I just couldn't decide which one of the two I think, and I think that one is hilarious. So, wanna take the challenge, Core?
Do you want me to take another? Yeah, sure, let's do it.
Okay, Core. So, the first one is the Satanic Nightjar. The second one is the Lingering Shadow. And the third one is the Hickory Horned Devil.
The third one is a bug.
Hmm?
What were the first two one more time?
The first was the Satanic Nightjar. And the second one was the Lingering Shadow.
First one's a bird, second one's a bluff.
Right. Perfect.
I got 100% on that one?
Yeah, I got 100% on that one.
All right.
I haven't thought that.
But my reputation is restored.
Have you got the scheme like Satanic Nightjar and Hickory Horned Devil?
Yes, I did. I caught on to that. Here, to make it fair, Drezel, I'll give you one more. How's that sound?
Sure.
Okay. Bug, bird, or bluff? Chigger, apple sipper, bobolink.
Well, I know a chigger is a bug.
Correct.
And
apple
bobolink
sipper
sounds
or bobo
like a bluff. And I'm going to go with apple sipper as a bird.
Close. The apple sipper is a bluff. The bobolink is a bird.
Hmm.
Let me try.
Yeah, I kind of feel a little underprepared because the only thing I have are...
You know what? That was actually a mistake on my part. You're like actually close to the Midwest, so you have chiggers in your area, don't you?
Yeah, we do.
Okay.
But all I have to share is the first one would be is what would you call two crows on a telephone wire?
What's that?
An attempted murder.
Oh, yes.
And then my bird of the week that I was researching was a bird that is between 6 and 8 inches or about 15 centimeters. It's probably in all of North America. And this bird does not give a fuck. Do either of you know which bird I am referring to?
15 to 18 centimeters, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is all throughout North America and doesn't give a fuck.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea. I'm not American.
I'm going to go with seagull again.
Seagull, yeah.
Would you like me to play a bit of its call?
Sure.
All right, let me unplug my headphones real quick, and I will play through the computer speakers.
But I can probably answer it because I have no single idea of the bird fauna in America.
Okay, so here is the bird that I'm talking about.
Okay.
It is called the North American
Wood Ack. The woodcock. The woodcock. Ack. I know that because I hyped that bird for a few days on Twitter. You could have just imitated.
That's not a real
sound.
Bird, though. That does not real, though.
No, it's not. But to the dragon, it is. Fuck you, I'm a dragon, so it's real.
But I think it. Yeah.
Fleeks, so, did you have the nation bird of the week?
No, I don't have a nation bird of the week. But
okay, I'll get one pulled up here. Go ahead. with what you're.
Oh, wait a second. Wait a second. Maybe the bird. I want to guess the bird again.
Okay.
But let's see if it's a national bird. Then we have
can kill two birds with one stone. With one stone. Is what you're trying to get.
It is actually a national bird, and it's the national bird of the Bahamas.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm closing Wikipedia, so I don't look at it. Damn it. Okay. I was getting one pulled up here.
Don't use Wikipedia. That would be pretty unfair. And now I have facts about the bird.
Okay.
Their name is derived from the Spanish word for flame-colored. It is found in Africa, on the Indian subcontinent, in the Middle East, and Southern Europe. But, yeah, it's a specific kind of it. So I think you can find it almost worldwide. But the family, you can find the family worldwide, I think. But I'm not entirely sure. But, yeah, you all know that bird, I promise you. The species lays a single chalky white egg on a mud mound. During the breeding season, they enhance their color. Coloration comes from the carotenoid pigments in the organisms that they live, that they eat.
Flamingo.
Right.
Okay. Okay. It took me a minute. But yes, eating the shrimp, it turns them pink. I didn't know that they were actually a very worldwide bird.
I know in the Midwest. You can find flamingos on every lawn.
Yeah, that's true.
I think you can find them in every single zoo. There where the smell is the worst. Because I think flamingos are pretty stinky birds.
A lot of zoos will actually just let their flamingos wander around the entire park, which is really cool.
Oh.
I think I talked about it before, but yeah, in the first episode I talked about how Flamingo tried to steal my girlfriend's bracelet.
Yeah, that was a fun story. So, for the bird of the week, I chose Bombird. I think you all know, at least you, Cor, know Bombird.
I do. Bombird is a fantastic artist.
Yeah, Bombird is a real amazing artist who is pretty active on Furfinity and semi-active on Tumblr, and yeah, that artist draws mostly birds. To be honest, I've never seen him drawing anything else, and I found him a few months ago because he has this awesome bird drawing tutorial. You know that pic?
Yes.
Yeah, that's super hilarious, and I think if you like bird art, you should definitely check him out. And yeah, like I said, you can find him in a few galleries under the name Bombird, or
we'll definitely include a link to their page below. So check the show notes.
Yeah, that's good. So yeah, and I think he is worth to featuring him in our show because he has a real amazing style and recognizable style. And yeah, it was about time to feature in bird artist.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
All right. So to the questions. Are you guys ready?
Sure.
I am ready for the question.
First question comes from Birdylicious. Are corvids better than raptors? Yes. Yes, they are. Next question.
Yeah.
No, no, they are not.
So, but wait, raptors. Ah, the raptors like the birds. The raptor birds. I think they have amazing talents. But corvids are that smug creatures that
corvids
can actually
incredibly
talk.
Intelligent.
They're cleverly intelligent and they can actually talk.
Yeah, but raptors are the most badass of all birds.
But they're not always the most smart. So take, for example, the American bald eagle. And not to speak against my beautiful nation's bird, but it is a dumbass. The American bald eagle hunts and eats almost exclusively fish. So it flies over the water and it tries to spot out fish. And if it spots one, it grabs one with its amazing talons. Unfortunately, the bird's judgment of the fish's size is not always the most accurate. So if the bird grabs a fish that is a little too heavy for it, that it can't take off back out of the water, the bird will fall into the water. The fish will, you know, continue to swim and drag the bird down under with it. And unfortunately, with the way raptor talons work, they cannot release their talons easily. It takes them a few minutes to be able to relax the muscles when they're grabbing onto something in order to be able to release it. So, I mean, you can see some videos of, well, there's one really cool video of a bald eagle like swimming back to shore with a fish in one of its talons. But for the most part, a lot of bald eagles die simply because they grab the wrong size of fish and just get pulled under by the fish.
Oh, yeah, that's silly.
Yeah. See, meanwhile, corvids prefer to just eat whatever remains left over and is already dead, so we don't even have to do the work.
Yeah, corvids. I have. That's actually a story I can tell about corvids. A magpie, an European magpie, was like stalking my grandma's Asian boyfriend. It brought him like all the shinies. Really, it stole a lighter, a Zippo lighter with diamonds in it from the balcony of the neighbors and brought it to him. And it brought a lot of stuff, foils that were a lot of stuff. It was really crazy. Like the bird had an obsession with the boyfriend of my grandma. That was so fun.
I want to look this up to verify location, but we'll get to the next question in just a moment. Okay, so in Japan, there is a species of crow, corvid, that they're actually having a... I don't think there's an issue with it so far. Crows are actually like exchanging for food from people. So a crow will bring like coins or just other shiny objects and put them on the balcony of a Japanese person's house. And the Japanese person will give them food for exchange for collecting shinies for them. And there's no real, like, there's not a point to them collecting the shinies. It's just that they've learned that there's a monetary exchange here that they can give them something and they'll receive food, which is really cool.
That's adorable. I've also heard stories in Japan of these crows that would wait on the streetlights and drop a walnut onto the street, and then the cars would run over the walnut. The crow would wait for the light to actually change, go into the crosswalk, and then pick up the walnut and fly off.
Ah. See, they are very clever. And lazy. Lazy, I think, is the... I think somehow laziness and intelligence really go hand in hand. Like, the smarter you are, guaranteed you're also lazier because you just don't want to do things. You're going to find a way that you don't have to do things.
Yeah, that's true.
But is that really laziness then? Because you're using all that intelligence as effort to come up with a better solution.
It's true, but at the same time, you're putting less effort into it because you're creating a system.
Yeah.
It's automation.
Final answer is like, corvids are better.
I agree. Corvids are way better.
Okay. I can live with that. We have like... Yeah.
Okay. So Storm actually has a question. He hopped into bird chat really quickly so he could ask us this. What would a griffin made out of a bird and a sergal look like?
A flying piece of cheese.
Yeah, a flying piece of cheese. Thank you. Thank you. That's exactly my thought.
Burn it with fire. Flying fondue.
Oh god, flying the sergals. Yeah. They were intimidating for all of like what, 3 months when they first got conceptualized.
And then they just became cute.
Yes.
As with anything in the furry fandom, that's just how it happens. Gadget Lumic asks, wine or cider, which do you prefer?
Depends on the wine and the cider, but I'm a huge fan of cider, and I never really, I rarely drank a cider I disliked, and I rarely drank a wine I liked. So I think cider wins the run.
I have a special stone chair where I drink my red wine and wait for people to ask me, what is a man?
I'm actually going to have to side just slightly on the wine side as well. I enjoy wines a little more than I enjoy ciders, but there's a lot of ciders I like too.
Yeah, there's so much ciders and I try them all, I promise you.
Okay, and Meester challenges us to give 10 definitive reasons why griffins are supposedly better than normal birds. They're not.
I why can't answer that. I can't even come up with one.
Oh, well, I'll have to come up with all 10 because otherwise I'd be out of a house.
But you're a dragon, so...
Yeah, oh, but I live with a griffin, and I'm also kind of attached to this beautiful bird kitty adorableness thing.
Okay, do you think that you can possibly come up with 10 reasons why griffins are better than normal birds?
Your relationship is on risk.
Yeah, So dramatic music time. Let's see. 10 reasons why they are better. Number one, they make a great bus system, as proven by World of Warcraft. Number two, it combines the best parts of the bird with the best parts of the cat, where...
There is no good part of a cat.
Well, it's
stinky
stupid.
Cat butt.
Did you ever had a cat? If you ever had a cat as a pet, you wouldn't say that the butt is the best part.
Because that's what you wake up to every morning if you have a cat.
Yeah, that's what they greet you with.
Yeah, but you see, with a griffin, you know what that griffin wants when it's showing you that tail. So, snap, snap, neck roll.
Okay, let's make it a valid point so we can proceed.
Okay, so that's two.
Let's see. They come in a variety of interesting colors and combinations, and usually
so you normal find, birds.
But you can also customize your griffin, and you can just kind of go down to an IKEA and build one out of half cats and half birds. So you can find one that matches your furniture, basically.
I don't feel like that one should count. Fleek's weigh in on this. I feel like birds are already super colorful and people can pick their species color as is.
Yeah, that's right. Birds don't really need improvement. You can like
not,
choose your
Not that we're working against you, Drezel, but that one doesn't count. Sorry. I'm a purple raven, for God's sakes.
Damn. Okay, colors aside then. Let's see. They are woefully underappreciated in mass media, which makes them even more special. So they're like griffins are like seeing a black midget in a movie. You just never see one.
You're comparing griffins to black midgets.
Yes.
Okay, I'll give you that one. Griffins okay. are equal to black midgets. Everybody heard it here first.
I'm so dead. But anyways,
I think five points are enough.
You're at three, yeah. So if you can make it to five, we'll give you some points. We'll give you some credit to your effort.
Okay. External balls. I'm going to just go with that. Just the junk in general for a griffin is much more desirable because cloacas are kind of.
Okay, I'll give you a point because they are different in that aspect. One more.
And one more.
That's Jesus all the time we have today. Thank you for joining us. No, I'm sorry.
Jesus was a griffin. There you go.
What?
Yes, totally. It's in the Bible. Somewhere in the back.
No.
Yeah, the Bible never said that he has no talents and no cat butt and stuff. The Bible does not say he's no griffin.
Whose side are you on?
I just thought about that, so we can't prove that Jesus wasn't a griffin, because theoretically it is forbidden to depicture Jesus. Maybe because he was a griffin.
All right, so you were able to come up with four reasons as to why griffins would be supposedly better than regular avians. Not 10, but nice try, Meester. Last question of the evening is, what do you like on pizza?
Salami.
Salami?
What?
Yeah. Don't you know salami?
You birds are
weird. You mean pepperoni?
No, I just translated for that. Maybe it's the wrong word, but I'm sure it's called salami.
Is it like spicy salami? Sausage. Okay. Sausage.
It's a red sausage.
Pepperoni. Is it round and circular or chunky?
It is red with white spots, and according to my dictionary, it's called salami.
He's describing salami, but salami on a pizza is a foreign concept to me.
It must be a German
thing. It is super good.
Ew. just ew. I'm a dragon. I will eat anything, and ew.
I know for a fact that that Americans don't know how pizza works. I
think we
close
perfected
to Italy.
Pizza. Thank you very much.
I live closer to Italy than you are, and somehow how to make pizza, the idea of pizza in general, got lost over the Atlantic.
You see, but the thing is Italian pizza is way different than what American pizza is, and pizza is way different than what Chicago pizza is.
And Italian pizza is honestly kind of like dinner. They just throw together whatever their leftover ingredients are on top of bread and sauce it out, and that is pizza to Italians. So
yeah, and it's great.
It's completely different from what Americans have done with pizza. Like I said, we perfected it. And
we have hot dog pizza, for example. Hot dog pizza is with all the contents of a hot dog on a pizza. What? Yeah. And it's so great.
That sounds sinful.
Gag.
my ex-GF that lives in America now says she can't really stomach the pizza there, and that it tastes like chlorine. So
Chlorine?
Yeah.
Wow.
Drizzle, what do you like on your pizzas?
My ideal pizza would probably be green peppers, onion, black olives, mushrooms, Italian sausage, and chicken.
Okay, so almost a supreme with chicken.
Pretty much a supreme. I'll eat pretty much anything on my pizza. I don't like anchovies, but then again, who does?
Weird people.
And pineapple does not belong on a pizza. It belongs in my martini.
I like you. Even though you're a dragon, you are welcome here.
Olives are ugly. Olives are the worst thing in the world.
So I like.
I want to have like edible nipples.
Oh no, no.
Anyways.
So are nipples. So nipples are unedible olives.
Yes.
Thank you.
That's what that little dot is. It's the thing that you tear off. It's like in Game of Thrones, you know, when the Unsullied got his nipple cut off, he turned that into an olive. Behind the scenes that you didn't see, but he's just like,
Okay. Anyways, moving on. On my pizzas, I like pepperoni, mushrooms, and olives, and that's I'm gonna have to cross olives off that list now. So pepperoni and mushrooms it is. And bacon. Bacon. Bacon belongs on pizzas.
Bacon is good.
Bacon belongs on everything.
So I was talking to some friends, and have you guys heard of Biscoff spread?
Yes.
Fleeks, how about you? Have you heard of it?
I heard about what?
Biscoff spread.
Never.
Or Biscoff cookies.
Cookie spread?
Yeah, it's a cookie spread. I'm gonna send you a link to a commercial after the show here because you need to see it.
Okay.
But a buddy and I actually made bacon and Biscoff spread cookies, sugar cookies, and they were probably the most amazing cookies I've ever had in my life.
Oh, I know them from Breaking Bad.
I didn't think Biscoff was in Breaking Bad.
I don't think so.
But bacon biscuits, bacon cookies were featured in Breaking Bad.
Yes, okay. So yeah, they do have like a bacon put in a cookie thing. And yes, that is amazing to do. I never expected bacon would go well in a cookie, but it actually does.
Well, I can also imagine it pretty well, but I'm open-minded toward food, so I think you can combine savory and sweet food pretty well if you do it right.
Especially
for a while. For a while, Burger King actually had the bacon sundae.
Oh, do you know what I like? I know it sounds perverted, but I freaking love to dip my pommes in ice cream. You like it's like fried ice cream. It tastes like fried ice cream. It's so amazing.
Your pommes?
Did I say pommes?
Yes.
Sorry, was the German term. It means fries.
That's normal. That's acceptable behavior.
Okay, thank you very much. So because from my German friends, I always hear like, but I love it.
Over here, people look at you like, what the hell's the matter with you? You're dipping like your fries in your vanilla chocolate ice cream. Like, but at the same time, then they try it and then they're like, oh my God, this is amazing.
So yeah, you know what Storm uses to dip his fries in?
What?
Mayo.
In what?
Mix ketchup and mayo together and you have what Utahns call fry sauce. And it's good.
That mayo is absolutely acceptable and absolutely a thing here in Germany, at least. It's called Pommes Rot-Weiß in Germany, if it's that stuff.
Ah, fry dipping sauce. Okay.
So, for the to close it, I have a last game. I called it Ultimate Choice. And the rules are the following. I give you two pretty unpleasant options, and you have to pick one of the choice. You have to pick one, and probably explain yourself why you picked it.
Okay, so this is a game of Would You Rather, except I'm guessing it involves birds.
Right. Yeah, and it involves birds. I put all my effort in that question, and I really thought about it for hours. And and the question at this time I would like to ask you, would you rather try to kiss a very angry marabou or get kicked in your stomach by a secretary bird?
Marabou, did you say?
A marabou, that angry bird that is like only it only knows how to be asshole.
I'm gonna have to look it up really quickly. One second.
Okay.
Oh, is it a type of stork?
Yeah, it's a marabou stork.
Okay. All right, I think I have my answer. Drezel, do you have yours?
Yes, I have mine.
Okay.
You're allowed to discuss it.
I'm going to be honest with you. I would rather get kicked in the stomach by a secretary bird. That is going to hurt like a bitch, but that's a lot easier to repair than my face.
Yeah. I'm going to agree with you there. And honestly, the secretary bird doesn't look like it has... I mean, it's got long legs, but they're not very thick.
We're going to have to show you videos of... exactly how secretary birds kill snakes is by stomping them. They can kick with how much pounds per square inch?
Enough to kill a snake. And it's hard to kill a snake, believe me. they really.
I'm gonna get the kick force pulled up here, but go ahead.
Okay, yeah, they are really, really strong. They have really strong kicks, and probably you have internal bleedings after they kick you in the stomach.
But even then, I feel like that's probably a little easier to repair than what that stork could do to my face.
But maybe that marabou likes you. But I think I would go the same path. Yeah. And depending on the secretary bird, it isn't that hard of a kick.
I do not have an amount of force that is put behind a secretary bird kick, but it can kick and kill snakes by crushing their heads with generally one kick.
Yeah, that's not
one very well aimed kick.
Yeah, and it also kills a variety of rodents with it, and even bigger animals.
I found something. So this, just to give you an idea, it has the ability... Okay, An adult male trained to strike a rubber snake on a force plate was found to hit with a force equal to 5 times its own body weight. Not that it weighs a ton, but, you know, it's still something.
Oh, yeah.
With a contact period of only 10 to 15 milliseconds. That is really fast.
Yeah. Oh, God. That's so really fast.
It's very, very, very precise in its strikes.
So it will probably kill your stomach.
If it knew exactly where your spleen would explode.
Yeah, probably.
No. My squeedly smooch is a little bit tougher than yours.
Okay, then the last one for today. Would you rather marry a stinky griffin or dine with a vulture?
Dine with a vulture.
Yeah.
I don't care if it's got poop all over its legs. Better than cat butts.
So what would you choose?
Oh, come on. Do you really even have to ask?
Yeah.
It's obviously the vulture.
Nah.
Even Drezel agrees vultures are more dine-worthy than griffins.
Unfortunately, I have to disagree with your bird brain logic because there are quite a bit of benefits to that griffonic presence.
But taking the consideration that it's a very badly stinky griffin, like really it stinks.
Hasn't bathed in days.
Yeah, it will never bath.
Oh.
Yeah, because it smells like a dragon, you know, after the dragons got into the bedroom a bit, and now, so yes, your stinky griffin just reeks of Doritos.
I'd be honest, I think
Frost is
pretty ugly because we all know that vultures are like eating carcasses, and it's probably not a pleasant dinner. But it's better than a lifetime with a stinky griffin.
I think that scavengers just have to stick together. Vultures, corvids. We got this.
I think I could stomach it for one time. I probably have to go to the hospital after that. But probably if that vulture is a gentleman or...
All right, I think that actually does kind of wrap it up for today.
All right.
Yeah, it wraps it up.
You're very crunchy, Fleeks.
Very play crunchy. Us off, Fleeks.
I am always crunchy.
All right, well, thank you so much for joining us. You can subscribe now, hooray, on iTunes and Google Play Music. You can also follow us on Twitter at BirdLife Podcast, or follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/BirdLifePodcast. And you can always join the chat room, and that is at telegram.me/BirdLife.
It's worth it to join there because you can ask us questions, you can interact with us, and we will always announce when we're recording.
Yes. And you get to talk to other birds, so that's a bonus.
Yeah, that's an absolute bonus.
Well, Drezel, thank you so much for joining us this week. Even with the Dorito scent permeating through my microphone as we speak.
You will always be the dragon that smells like Doritos in the face.
Oh.
Thank you, boyfriend.
Believe me, I will. I will.
All right. Thank you for joining us, and always be beeping.
Always be beeping.
Tweet, tweet.
Beep, beep, beep. We'll be right back.
Oh, let's wait for it to finish really quick.
Let's wait for it to finish.
So.
Why is that the chime for every clock ever?
It's the Westminster chime.
My grandma has the exact same.
Oh,
it's from... What?
Lovely.
Sounds very interesting.
You've got background noises. Very specific background noises.
Do you record in the toilet?
Unfortunately, some roommate did not bother to close the door, so the episode starts off a flush.
That's our bumper.